Well, Happy New Year, and welcome to 2017. I can't believe it. I just feel like it was a couple years ago that we were worried about the Y2K issue that was going to happen. What's going to happen? Are the computers going to work? Is my car going to start? Or it's 2017, folks, 2017. As I contemplate this new year, I get really excited. I really do. I get very excited of what God has in store for my life, for my family, and for this church. And all that's going to happen, that the possibilities are literally endless because we're talking about God. And what I'm most excited about as we look forward is that God wants to move us forward. That's His desire. That's His strategy. God's will is for us, His people, to go from glory to glory. That's a moving forward in the glory of God. And the Lord reminded me of this passage in 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we," it's talking about the church, "we, the believers, those who are born again in Christ Jesus, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, we're being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory." Ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That's exciting. See, God has plans for us, His people, His church. And His plans are to take us from glory to glory. However, in that process and within that reality, we're also aware that life is full of obstacles. We got hurdles that we run into. We've got roadblocks and landmines that attempt to keep us from fulfilling our God-ordained purpose for living, why we're here right now. Obstacles that are thrown at us in order to trip us up, divert us from this ever-increasing glory that is ours, that is God's will for each one of us. Let me tell you a story. At age 4, a little girl, just hold off on this next picture for a little bit here. At age 4, a little girl named Wilma encountered an obstacle. She was stricken with scarlet fever. She lost the use of her left leg. But this little girl didn't let this obstacle define her future. Rather, she overcame and she learned to walk again when she was 7 years old. Several years later, track star Wilma Rudolph won 3 gold medals in the 1960 Olympics. Obstacles, hurdles, roadblocks, overcoming. Dealing with obstacles isn't new. We all know that. Everyone in this room can raise their hands and say, "Yes, I've dealt with obstacles in my life." It's not new. In fact, the people of God have been dealing with obstacles forever, yet the people of God overcome. They do, and so can we. We can learn from those who've gone before us, and we can launch into a new and exciting year of God's plans and His purposes for our lives in the here and in the now. God has us here right now for a purpose. You're living, you're breathing right now. You're alive in Christ Jesus right now for big kingdom eternal purposes. And so as we enter into this new year, we need to remember how we can live as those who are overcoming obstacles. And that's the title of this New Year's message, Overcoming Obstacles. To figure this out, to get God's perspective and His prescription for doing this, for overcoming obstacles, I want us to visit the life of Joshua, specifically looking at Joshua chapter 6. This chapter tells the story of Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Huh, Jericho, hey, Jericho. Right? You learn that. You learn the hand motions and all that kind of stuff. And the walls came tumbling down. The people of God, they came across the city with these walls. And they had to decide at that point whether they would continue the journey into the plans and the purposes and the promises of God, or would they stop? Would they retreat? Would they move forward in spite of the obstacle, or would they once again retreat back into safety? And I believe each one of us is going to have that opportunity this year at different times. Obstacles that are going to come up before us, and we're going to have to make that decision. Do we stop? Do we retreat? Do we play it safe? Joshua 6, verse 1 says, "Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in." So we get this picture. No one out, no one in. Look at that wall. I found that picture online. I thought, now that's a wall, isn't it? That looks formidable. And that's what the Israelites ran into when they came to Jericho. A wall that looked impossible. Mighty Jericho, with its formidable walls, was a very real obstacle for the people of God. And it threatened their advancement into the promises and into the blessings that the Lord had for them. If they couldn't conquer this city, then all hope for the Israelites was gone. It was over. The milk, the honey, freedom, all the blessings that God had, it was done. It was either overcome this obstacle or retreat. Retreating into yesterday's provision. Retreating meant yesterday's dreams. Retreating meant yesterday's victories and yesterday's manna. And remember what yesterday was for the Israelites. It was the desert. It was dry. Death. Wandering. Hopelessness. This is what happens when we allow obstacles to stop us from moving forward into the things of God, into who we are in Christ Jesus. We find ourselves wandering again. We find ourselves hopeless. But God has big plans for His people. Do you realize that? He has big plans for His people, and that's us. God has giants for us to slay. God has walls for us to pull down. God has the gates of hell for us to rip off of their hinges and to bring the kingdom of God into our community. He has neighborhoods and nations for us to reach and for us to see change happen in. God has miracles for us to see. And God has blessings for us to enjoy. That's what God has for us. Read His Word. This is what He has for His people. These are the plans and the purposes that He has for His church, for His people. But rest assured, there are going to be obstacles as we move forward into all of these things. As we move forward into experiencing and being part of all of that God has for us, there will be obstacles. We still live in this broken world. We're not of it, but we're still in it. And this world is full of obstacles, roadblocks, distractions, fears, that the enemy will use in an attempt to stop us and to send us into retreat mode. And retreat often has that appearance of safety. Playing it safe. Isn't that the wise thing to do? It's foolish to go against those walls. It's foolish to think that we can take a city like that. It's foolish to think that we, a church of this size, can impact the whole community of 247,000 people here in Gilbert. That's just foolishness. Shouldn't we play it safe? Won't it cost us too much if we really try to go for it? I mean, come on, what will it cost us? Well, if we do it our way, it's going to cost us a lot. If we do it God's way, all things are possible. All things are possible. And so back to Joshua and the Israelites. How did they respond to this obstacle called Jericho? Number one, they listened. They listened. You see, overcoming obstacles begins with listening to God. Overcoming obstacles begins with listening to God. Back to verse 1 of chapter 6. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Verse 2, check this out. Then the Lord said to Joshua. The Lord spoke to Joshua. He said, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men." So check this out. The Lord said to Joshua, and Joshua did what? He listened to what the Lord was saying to him. Joshua had a God who communicated with him. And so do we. See, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He's still speaking to His people. people. He's still speaking to his church. He's still speaking to you and to me because we're seeking him and because we are those who are listening to his voice and not the voice of another. He's still speaking. And so whatever obstacles we encounter, God is willing to cross them with us. And he's committed to speaking to us, his people. And he's committed to providing us with the strength, the resources, with the hope, and with the direction to move forward into the calling that he has on our lives and to overcome every single obstacle that we run into. I was reminded of Martin Luther. When Martin Luther was confronted with more obstacles, more responsibilities in his life, more chances to overcome the busyness of life and the busyness of his schedule, what did he do? His response is, look, I have so much to do that I've got to pray more. I've got to spend more time with God. That's how Martin Luther would respond to a busier life, to more obstacles being thrown at him. He would pray more. Why? Because he needed to hear what God was saying. He needed to hear the voice of God. And to hear the voice of God, we need to listen. And we listen in that place of prayer where we quiet our hearts and our minds. And we open up his word. And we get focused on him. And we put ourselves in front of the living God who is speaking to his people. And we listen. We have ears to hear God. That's how we deal with obstacles, with busyness, with pressures, with all that life throws at us. We listen to him. Luther embraced this key to Christian living of praying, of listening to God. So we got to spend more time listening to God. Basically, it's this: more obstacles means more prayer. And I know it seems like, well, I don't have time for more prayer because I have more obstacles. I have more things to deal with. I have more responsibilities, more pressures of life. I don't have time to pray and I need my sleep. And so I'm going to determine what I need and how I'm going to manage and live my life. And so we keep doing the same old thing, spending the same amount of time with God, the same amount of attention on God, listening to him, and the same amount of enormous attention and time dealing with the obstacles ourselves, and we get the same results. Just keeps beating us up, getting more and more tired. More obstacles, more prayer. If we're up against a wall, we want to know how to deal with it. We've got to fight the urge to overcome in our own strength. We have to. We got to run to God. We got to commune with him. We got to talk with God and listen to God. Let prayer be our first action, not our last resort. I believe that's so important for us moving into this new year and all that God has for every one of us individually, for every family in here, and for us corporately as the church, as the body of Christ here in our community. We have to run to God. We have to listen to him. And frankly, the more we pray, regularly pray, preemptively pray, the more we pray, the more serious we are about prayer, the faster we will identify obstacles and the quicker we will overcome them. That's just the reality of it. Because again, we're not doing it our way. We're doing it God's way. And God is very good at removing obstacles. So this is my prayer for us, that we would pray more this year, 2017. We would pray more, that we would listen and hear the voice of the Lord. And we will as we pray. If we seek him, we will find him. If we seek him with all of our heart, if we give more of our heart to him, which is our time. If we give ourselves to God, we give ourselves to sitting in his presence, to listening to his voice, we will find him. We will hear his voice. We're his sheep. He's our shepherd. We've been given the supernatural ability to hear his voice, to understand his direction, to commune with him. My prayer is that we would dive deeper into that. Not the busyness of this world, but deeper into communion with God, to listening to him this year. That will be a good year for you, believe me. He never fails. That will be a good year. So, amen. Praise God. We have our month of prayer and fasting. Please don't just blow by it and think, well, that's what the church is doing, but, you know, I've got this whole other idea and I've got all this other stuff going on and I've got these meetings here and these people to deal with here and I got this here, so I really can't participate in that. Don't do that. The Lord has you in a community of believers on purpose. Not just to kind of be on the fringe and pick and choose, but to dive in to the church and what God is saying to the body of Christ. And He's saying, seek and you will find. Pray and listen and you will get direction and you will find yourselves overcoming obstacles. As your pastor, I strongly urge you, I'm pleading with you, engage in prayer and fasting this month. I believe what we put in, we're going to get out. The precept and principle of sowing and reaping is so real and so alive today, as it always has been. Let's sow into what God is calling us to do, prayer and fasting. And I want to encourage everyone here, if you can, come on Wednesday. Fast on Wednesday and come to prayer on Wednesday nights. We're going to have time together. It's going to be, I believe, a special time. I think it's going to be a time of breaking through even to new places and new levels and going deeper with God corporately together. We're going to find those things in the place of prayer. And I believe, and I'm just saying this as the pastor here, that I believe the more commitment we have to that, even in numbers of the people in this church, I believe the more breakthrough we're going to find. I just believe it, because that's God's way. That's how He operates. So I want to encourage you, participate. You won't be disappointed. Half the time I don't want to go to Wednesday night prayer, and I'm the guy leading it, okay? Amen. But every time, literally every time, I have left going, thank you, Lord. That was good. Thank you, God. I needed that. I leave refreshed and full of faith and excitement about who I am in Christ Jesus. I want to encourage you. Come on. So overcoming obstacles begins with listening to God, but it must proceed into believing God. So if we're going to overcome obstacles, we got to listen to God. We got to get the strategies. We got to know how to deal with it. But we also got to believe God. So let's continue in verse 6. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and make seven priests carry trumpets in front of them. And he ordered the people, advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. So here's what's going on. In the face of this great obstacle called Jericho, these walls, these strong, mighty people, Joshua believed what God had said. He listened to the Lord and he believed what the Lord had told him. And he came into agreement with the plan of God. He came into agreement with God's way, with God's precept, with God's strategy, which we can always find in His Word here and from His voice as we listen. Even though he most likely didn't completely understand the plan or its significance, Joshua followed God and he actually took it to the next level and he moved the people of God to action. God told the Israelites to quietly march around the city. But then on the final lap to shout, to blow trumpets, to get crazy. Come on now. It's good. Sometimes we've got to get crazy, man. If we're going to see the walls come down, we've got to get loud. If we're going to see the walls come down, the obstacles, you know, be just demolished in front of us. They got crazy. They got loud. And then the people of God, they believed God. And they embraced these strategies. They actually did these things that looked foolish. They did them. They obeyed. And the result is that they overcame. So the result of believing God to the point of coming into agreement with God and then actually following through with what God has told us to do, the result is we overcome. Joshua demonstrated that belief is ultimately revealed by the action we take. Now, how do we know that we believe? We look at our lives. Are we doing what God's called us to do? Are we following through with what God's called us to do as the people of God? Those are the people who believe. It's easy to hear something and say you believe. Belief is shown in the fact that we actually grab hold of it, come into agreement with it, and walk it out. And Joshua and the Israelites did that, and the walls came down. God brought the walls down. They didn't bring the walls down. God brought the walls down for his people who had come into agreement with his plans and his purposes for them. God did it for them. God did it for them. What an act of faith. Marching around the city. No previous battle had ever been won in that way. But the people of God said, okay, God, if that's your way, we're going to do it. They marched around the city. It was an act of faith, an act of obedience. And their obedience to God produced wonders. And the Lord gave me that word, wonders. I'm like, what? I believe that's a word from the Lord for us right here today. Obedience to God, coming into agreement with God, listening to God, and believing God to the point of coming into agreement and walking it out will produce wonders in through our lives. We will actually get to be part of wonders. We will get to witness wonders as we live this way, as we move forward this way with God. Yes, obstacles being removed, overcoming obstacles, yes, but actually wonders of heaven, wonders of God that we will get to be part of as we come into agreement and in obedience in this way. When the great missionary Hudson Taylor went to China, he made the voyage on a sailing vessel. Now, this was back in the day where they had real sails. You know, they actually had big sails, big sheets that they would put up, right, and sail. I've done some sailing in my life. I do it almost every summer, not on a big ship like this, but just a small catamaran on a lake. It's a lot of fun. But you're not going to move on a real sailing vessel without wind. If all you have to move you is the wind, if you don't have wind, you're not moving, right? And so as this sailing vessel that Hudson Taylor was on, as it neared the channel between the southern Malay Peninsula and the island of Sumatra, the missionary heard an urgent knock on his stateroom door. He opened it, and there stood the captain of the ship. "Mr. Taylor," he said, "we have no wind, and we're drifting toward an island where the people are heathen, and I fear they're cannibals. What can I do, though?" asked Taylor. "How am I supposed to help? Just a missionary." "Well, I understand that you believe in God, and I want you to pray for wind," said the captain. "All right, Captain, I will, but you must set the sail." See what Taylor's doing here? "I'll pray for wind, but first you got to set the sail." "Why, that's ridiculous," the captain said. "There's not even the slightest breeze. Besides, my crew and all these sailors, they're going to think I'm crazy, that I've lost it." But finally, because of Taylor's insistence, he agreed. 45 minutes later, check this out. I mean, they had no breeze, nothing. But 45 minutes later, he returned. He found the missionary still on his knees. And the captain said, "You can stop praying now. Please stop praying. We've got more wind than we know what to do with. We can't handle it anymore. It's too much." See, belief requires action. For God to give them the wind, he was asking them to first set the sail, to believe that, and to put yourself in a position and show me that you really believe that I can bring the wind, that I can move you in the right direction. Position yourself. Let me show you a position. This is a really good position. It's the position that Hudson Taylor took. We position ourselves. We listen. We position ourselves. We listen. We position ourselves. We pray for wind. We pray for the move of God. We pray for the blowing of the Spirit in and through our lives, for the blessings of God, the favor of God, the direction of God, to be used by God. And so we set the sail. And we position ourselves. We position ourselves. We position ourselves. We cry out, "God, send the wind." And it's to those that are seeking him with all of our hearts that get the wind. Sometimes more than we know what to do with. We say, "Oh, God." Let me just say, if you feel like it's out of control, don't tell God to stop. Ask him for more grace to be able to handle the wind, okay? You know what I'm saying? Don't tell him to stop. Just say, "Okay, God, I'm not going to tell you what to do. You're God. Just help me because I'm holding on and I need more help holding on." You hear what I'm saying? Amen. All right. Okay, so overcoming obstacles begins with listening to God. It moves into believing God, which is action, positioning ourselves into that point of believing Him. And it culminates in a lifestyle of trusting God. We listen, we believe, and we live in a lifestyle of trusting Him. Let's move forward into verse 20 of Joshua 6. See, when the trumpet sounded, the people got crazy. Again, sometimes we got to get crazy. I know American Christians don't like that all the time. We like to everything prim and proper, and this is the way we've always done it. But sometimes the Lord moves us into blowing trumpets and walking and shouting a little bit. I'm not, you know, directed by the Lord, of course. So the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in. They took the city, and then they devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkey. They did it God's way. They dedicated it to the Lord. They dedicated what God gave them to the Lord. They dedicated their future to the Lord. See, it was uncommon common sense to believe that God could make the impossible happen. And in the end, the walls fell, though. The impossible became possible. The walls fell. And the walls were never really the problem. They never are they? Really, the obstacles are never the problem. God's bigger than everything out there. Where the problem comes is when we get involved, when we insert ourselves into a place where we shouldn't be. You see, we often are the problem. Our tendency to doubt, our tendency to reduce our expectations. Well, that's just too big of a wall. Maybe I'll go look for a smaller wall to take, even though the Lord's positioned you in front of that big wall. And you think, I don't know. I better just start with something smaller. You know, I'm just not ready for that. What? Do you have Christ in you? Is His grace not enough? Did He conquer the grave? Is it finished? Sometimes, though, we become our own worst enemy. We reduce our expectations. We put God in a box. We make His plans for our lives smaller. And that's a problem. Don't make God's plans for your life smaller. He's a big God. At His name, every tongue will confess. Every knee will drop. I mean, He is God. He is God. Let's never reduce Him or reduce the plans that He has for us because of fear, because of doubt. God has big plans for us. Our future is bright and it's limitless in the Lord. And remember, it's eternal. Our future is eternal, and the eternal has already begun in Christ Jesus. It's the here and now of the eternal. And God has the power to do as He chooses, but He calls us to participate in this future, to do what He wants to do. And to do that, to participate with Him in this future, requires us to trust Him. Trusting Him and living by faith. We don't have to go do it. We just have to come alongside and trust Him. Listen, believe, and live a lifestyle of trusting Him. And when we choose this kind of trusting God living, that's when we find ourselves overcoming the obstacles as we watch God taking care of the walls. Hebrews 11:30 reminds us that by faith the walls of Jericho fell. By faith. By trusting God. By doing things God's way. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, doing things God's way, day in and day out, day in and day out, trusting God, believing God, listening to God, and watching God call to the walls to crumble around us and for His glory to be shown in and through us. Joshua and the people of God demonstrated deep confidence in the power of God. So my question is this, for me, I look at that and go, am I approaching life this way? Is this how I'm approaching life? Am I having this kind of faith and trust like Joshua had? This kind of confidence in the Lord? You know, we talked earlier how God wants to display His ever-increasing glory in us and through us. And it's those who trust Him, those who believe and trust that God really wants to do this, that He really has the ability to take us from glory to glory, to display His wonders in and through us. It's those who really believe and trust that will actually move from glory to glory, and those who doubt and don't trust will remain in the desert. And there were some that did with the Israelites. They didn't get to see that wonder and that glory of the walls coming down. Remaining, staring at the walls. There are some who keep looking at the walls, at those obstacles, going nowhere. You know how I'm a little quirky. I think of songs sometimes. And I thought of that song by the Newsboys, Shine, where it says, "Shine, make them wonder what you got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking bored." I know it's crazy lyrics, right? But it makes sense. There are too many people, it's so sad, there's too many people, there's too many Christians that are on the outside looking bored, feeling hopeless, wondering where God is, settling for a life without the wonders of God, without the glory of God, without the miracles of God, without the transforming power of God, without ever hearing God, without ever experiencing Him at all. And they're on the outside looking bored, and the wall is still there. It's a depressing place to live. And God's made a way for us to walk through those walls, to see them fall down. But we got to do it God's way. Listening, believing, and trusting. And that's when we get to see His ever-increasing glory made evident in and through our lives. As we conclude, I want to tell another story. Actually, just kind of give some more statistics. In 1962, Victor and Mildred Gortzel, they published a revealing study of 413 famous and exceptionally gifted people. That's what it was, famous and exceptionally gifted people. 413 of them, and they called the study the Cradles of Eminence. The Cradles of Eminence, and they spent years attempting to understand what produced such greatness. What common thread might run through all of these outstanding people's lives? And surprisingly, the most outstanding fact was that virtually all of them, 392 of the 413 famous and outstanding gifted people, had overcome very difficult obstacles in order to become who they were. They overcame obstacles. A common thread through the lives of exceptional people. The Apostle James shares this key to Christian living with us. It's one of your favorite passages, I know, in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials, whenever you run into obstacles," is another way to look at it. "Consider it pure joy when you run into those walls that seem impossible. Because you know that the testing of your faith, the fact that you come against that and have to trust God and get on your knees and listen and believe and trust and move forward with God, that whole process, that testing of your faith, it develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And isn't that what we all want? We don't want to lack anything. We want all that God has for us. We want to walk in that ever-increasing glory that He has for us. And obstacles are used by the Lord as part of that process of making us, His people, those exceptional God people that are about His work, bringing His kingdom on this earth right here, right now. Those obstacles, they're going to happen. We can either allow them to keep us from the plans of God, or we can allow them to launch us into the plans of God. We can allow those obstacles to keep us on the outside looking bored, as the Newsboys said, hopeless back in the desert, or we can look at those obstacles as opportunities to walk by faith, not by sight, to trust God and to see Him do even greater things in us and through us where we get to experience the wonders of God. We want the wonders of God. They're displayed through the obstacles. The sea parting and the people of God walking through on dry ground. Even the sun standing still. That wonder of God happened when there was obstacles of battle and warfare going on. But it was the people crying out to God, looking to Him, listening, believing, and trusting Him that got to walk in the wonders and the miracles as the obstacles were being removed. So I want us to be those people who listen to Him, who believe Him, who trust Him, and who are continuing to overcome the obstacles as we see the walls of opposition falling before us. To do that, I just want us to come into agreement with what God is saying, to come into agreement with faith, and I want us to stand up. We're going to sing that song that we sang earlier called Overcome. The reality is that we are overcomers because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, because of what Christ has done and us coming into agreement with what He has done. So I want us just to sing in faith, to sing with expectation, to trust Him, and to declare this truth in and over our lives today.